This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
I'm Emily Campagno, and this is the Fox True Crime Podcast. It's often said that seeing is believing, but new technological developments are making it easier for your eyes to deceive you. The rise of artificial intelligence, or AI, is now making it easier for criminals and bad actors to create deepfakes, manufactured media that replicates a person's voice, face, or likeness. Celebrities have become targets of deepfake attacks, one recent example being Taylor Swift, with artificial pornographic images of the pop star spreading across social media platforms. However, AI-based abuse is not limited to celebrities. Victims of deepfake crimes have come from all backgrounds and all ages, and have cited the toll the images have had on their mental health, social lives, and careers. So how can we train ourselves to detect doctored media? And how can we take control of our likeness? Former FBI Special Agent Chris Tarbell is a founding partner at Naxo, a cybersecurity firm. He joins me today to explain what this technology is and how it works, and the ways in which we can protect ourselves from becoming victims. Break it down for listeners who aren't as familiar with the technology. What exactly is a deepfake?
So a deepfake is something that emulates or forges like a person saying something or doing something that they never did. It's essentially making like a fake video, but it looks like that person is doing those things and saying those things, but it's really not them.
So what does it take for a deepfake to be created? Is this a quick process? Is it complicated?
It can be quick. I mean, there's a lot of technology online that offers what's, you know, people say machine learning or artificial intelligence. And what it does is it can take as little as a 3-second video and take that person's face and then put it into another face. So it would look like somebody was doing something or saying things they weren't saying. And, you know, one scary thing, you and I do podcasts. So, you know, our voice being put out there and all the information, they can digest that data that we're putting out there, our voices. And artificial intelligence then can make us say things by learning our inflections and the type of words we use and have it say fake things that you and I have never said in our lives.
Chris, truer words you have never spoken. People have been successfully hoodwinked by many imposters who indeed were using my voice. And this episode is not about that, but it is horrific. And it's terrifying because it is you. And yet it 100% is not. So tell us about, let's talk about that harm then, right? We know clearly there are catfishers out there. They just get money, right? But let's talk about the deeper harm that this can cause. A lot of young people, you know, there's the financial fraud we discussed. There's the reputational harm and essentially pornography that's out there, intellectual property theft. Like, talk to us about the harm.
Sure, there's lots of that. So yeah, you mentioned the financial crime. A lot of people are you know, committing cybercrime these days for financial gain. You know, the advent of cryptocurrency makes it a little easier. And this, you know, bank fraud is becoming a little bit easier. I know a lot of banks use voice recognition. So now that we can fake someone's voice, you know, there's an easy way to bypass that. And it's mixing it with other technologies and other scams. Like they'll use things like a phishing to grab your password. Then they'll log into your bank and call your bank and pretend to be you with a fake voice. But that's really your voice, just not the things you say. And they bypass that biometric security. But you mentioned other things beyond financial, like there's sextortion. There's, I know a lot of kids in high school are facing this. Somebody sends them, hey, I got nudes from your computers. And now I need more, or I'm going to send these to all your friends. And those are fake pictures. You know, the person never took those pictures, but just the thought of it, of being like a 14 or a 15-year-old girl, and the thought of like nudes being sent around to your friends at your high school is terrifying. And so you may, you know, give in to that demand from the sextortionist. And that's just a scary thought. I mean, I have a teenage daughter myself, and I can't imagine being faced with that threat.
And to that point, I think the ripple effect and the psychological harm can't be overstated. On that note, I recently read about a young man who took his own life because of the shame that had been that had emulated from the, again, a manufactured event. And so it doesn't, the harm does not end with that initial transaction or the initial, you know, exposure. It can have a lifetime effect. It's absolutely terrifying. And so now, as we go into that world of where anything is possible and this nefarious side, I mean, could deepfakes be used to frame people? How good is the counter technology? Ultimately, is it simple, or is it finite to prove that indeed it is a fake? Are we going to get to a place someday where it's going to be so good that we're not going to be able to tell if it's real or not?
I wish I had the answer. I know for a fact there's a $1 million competition out there right now to build technology that can be used to spot deepfakes and manipulated media on the fly. But so it's still out there and available. But, you know, I've been in law enforcement my entire career, and, you know, it's reactionary. So a new technology is perverted by bad guys. And that's what we're seeing now, that these, you know, AI and machine learning is being used to commit these frauds and scams and atrocities against us. But, you know, law enforcement and technology is catching up to it. There's a lot of software out there now that businesses can kind of afford to deploy against deepfakes. And, you know, a lot of your common communication softwares, you know, the Zooms and those type things, they're adding stuff in there to help guard against these deepfakes. But, you know, that's specialized software that costs a lot of money that individuals might not have access to at this time. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of individuals being victimized by the AI. I mean, we see the big stories every day. I think there was one this week of a $25 million being sent because a guy was sent a phishing email and then got on the phone with what he thought was his CFO, but really it was a deep fake. And then, you know, that was convinced him to send $25 million fraudulently to the bad guys. You know, in companies that do that, they can afford some of this software that's coming out to spot it. But again, individuals, just, you know, it's not there yet. We don't have the protection. So, you know, we have to educate ourselves about some things we can do.
Yeah, and especially in that realm, you know, there's a spectrum. And speaking from, again, firsthand experience, it just breaks my heart what people fall for and then the monies that they pay out. And when I look at it, I'm like, oh, look, that was so obvious. Like, look at these red flags. I can't believe you fell for it. And that's sort of in its own portion of the spectrum. And then it goes up and to the whole point where it's like, well, but it was your voice. It was your image on the Zoom call. You were moved. I mean, the technology is, it's pretty incredible. And to your point, the laws haven't caught up, right? So what are the tools that we can use? Because, you know, let's take this Taylor Swift example for a moment. You know, there are laws against revenge porn, but this isn't that. There are laws against IP, you know, thefts. You could argue it's that, but at the same time, it is created, right? It's fictional. They're, it's like, it's messy. The laws haven't caught up to the technology. And at the end of the day, that still enables a time period of like going after the deep fake site, pulling it down versus having it not be able to do that in the first place. Because for everyday people, the damage, as we've talked about earlier, the harm, that often you can never put that back in the can. A famous person can move on potentially. Oh, everyone knew it was fake. But for a 14-year-old girl in high school whose reputation was ruined or who suffered shame, you know, who was ostracized, how do you get that back? Like how
well, you can't. I mean, it ruins high school for them. You can never get that high school experience back. You're always going to be labeled with certain things. And I'm certainly not, you know, telling that 14-year-old victim out there that there is not a light at the end of the tunnel. There certainly is. And there's help to be done. And you are a victim of this. But you know, I can understand putting myself in her shoes and what she's facing. And unfortunately, you know, there's not a lot of things available to us right now outside of education and training to understand that these are, you know, fake things. You're never going to be able to stop it. I mean, you're not going to be able to stop technology and stop someone at home from using this technology to be able to do it. The companies that offer things online, you know, they probably could stop bigger things. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff you can do at home locally that you don't have to do on the internet to create these deep fakes. Now, the Taylor Swift ones, you can kind of see based on the surroundings, you know, that wasn't real. I mean, that was, you know, on the middle of a football field or wherever it was, you could tell they're fake. But again, these other ones that you can't tell, that they're doing a really good job about making it look like the surroundings and the scenario fit, and it's plausible. It's really hard to disprove something you didn't do.
Yeah, it's like the thing about the internet too, as I'm just sitting here mulling that over, it's much harder to remove information, quote unquote, let's say data, because it's false. It's much harder to remove data than to suppress data. So the reality is, people always say, well, everything lives forever on the internet. So it's incredibly difficult, again, from experience in this industry, to get something to say, to shout from the rooftops, this is untrue. This does not belong out there. And to your point about things that it's hard to tell, I mean, I have literally fought with very credible sites that people, you know, probably go to every day for information. And the truth was not enough. Like the burden, let's say, the burden to disprove something is far greater than the burden to prove something. So anyone can go somewhere and say, oh, hey, Chris eats hot dogs for dinner. And you could then bring 365 photos of your dinners for a year and say, no, I don't. Look, no, I don't. And yet that will be taken as suspicious and the hot dogs will stay up.
Yeah, I mean, we sort of live in a world where there can be two truths. There are two sides to every story. So unfortunately, that's, you know, sort of creeping over here into our world on that. But again, you know, there are techniques that can be used to kind of digitally fingerprint things that are put online. So if you were to put out a video of you saying something, you can put on a digital fingerprint, some sort of algorithm or what they call a hash is added to the video. And if that hash doesn't match the video you put out and you could prove it, and that is one technology, blockchain, that is offering now, is allowing you to put in these tamper-proof digital fingerprints on a video. So create a hash, it goes on the blockchain, that blockchain lives forever, and you'd be like, well, look, when I put the video out, the video had this hash. Now it doesn't. So somebody altered it. Somebody changed this. So, you know, we are finding, you know, technologies to mix with this in order to try to block some of that stuff put out there.
We're going to take a quick break. More from our guest after this.
The Will Cain Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Cain as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
So for someone like me who doesn't speak technology language, let's talk about the challenges like posed for law enforcement. So you've talked a little bit about what they're facing, but let's say you were still with the FBI, a case lands across your desk. Let's say the hash is harder to tell, or you can't, you know, I don't know, tell us what investigating it would look like, what challenges you might face, and how ultimately what laws you would be prosecuting them under.
Well, the laws are tough. Like you said, we've not really caught up on those laws. There's a lot of new stuff coming out through financial crime. And, you know, it's not so much generating the fake deep fake or generating the media. It's the result of using it is kind of sort of the laws that we have in place now. So if you use it to commit fraud, you use it to impersonate someone, you use it for an account takeover, you use it for phishing scams, I can charge you with all that stuff. Just having the deep fakes and trying to go out there and say it's a deep fake, I think that's more of a civil liability you're looking at there. The criminal penalties just aren't there. Unfortunately, from the FBI standpoint, there's not really, they haven't been given a tool in order to investigate that sort of thing so far. So the results of the deepfakes is what I'm going to investigate.
It's so disheartening. I mean, name me one person that hasn't gotten flooded, not just one email, flooded with their emails or DMs by scammers. And the reality is you can't name someone that hasn't, but also now increasingly more people can name at least one person who fell for it. And generally speaking, those might be elderly individuals or less savvy individuals. And you mentioned the business, the corporate example, but it's so disheartening that only when there is actual fraud is there a prosecutable action. Because on the other hand, then to the point earlier about the reputational harm and the like, I mean, it's just, it's so messy and hideous. So What would you say then? What resources does law enforcement need in order to pursue this? So we want laws caught, you know, laws that are caught up, or essentially that I would personally, even though I hate usually vague laws, obviously, I'm one of those sticklers for specificity, but I wish that a law would be passed that is vague enough so that rapidly advancing technology could be put into a catch-all so that there would be a cause of action on the criminal side, because people's lives are being ruined even before they get to their wallets, right? So what other resources that would you say law enforcement agencies need?
That's a tough question. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of things there that should be addressed. You know, that this AI is being used to go after elder and elder abuse. And you know, that's a common thing. People that aren't, you know, trained and know about deepfakes. I know there's a fraud going around lately about using like your grandchildren's voice to call and say, I've been arrested. I need to get out of jail. And please send over, you know, Bitcoin or cryptocurrency so I can get out of jail. No government agency takes cryptocurrency to get you out of jail, so don't fall for that one. And an easy one to have a sort of a word that you can kind of ask a person. I know my wife and I, we had a secret word, and if it was invoked, then we knew it was the other person, and to act quickly. I recently had a conversation with my in-laws about telling them that if they ever received a phone call about their children being in jail, I can assure it's fake because their children will not call them if they're in jail. They're going to call each other. But tools for law enforcement, we just need to advance the technology and being able to come up with a way of determining how these videos are being made, where they're being made, and again, really go after the use of them and just not the creation of them, because again, I think that's going to the problematic with that is, you know, it's kind of infringing on free speech a little bit of the, or I've created something and where's the line? It's using these for nefarious acts really needs to be the point that's addressed.
Totally, and I love that you guys have that word and the agreements between you. I mean, of course, I think of that scene from Ghost and Oda May's all, Ditto, what the hell is Ditto? And he's like, just say it, Oda May, just say it. You know what I'm talking about? Or are you too young?
Sure. Okay. No, I know what you're saying. But I even did it with you. I mean, so your producer reached out to me to ask me on the show. And, you know, I like to verify things. So I used another medium. I used LinkedIn and I reached out to your producer there just to see if she connected with me on there. And that kind of confirmed that this was a real thing.
Yeah, look at you, wizard. And that's...
Well, especially because she told me we were going to use faces. And like, I was like, wait, this is weird. We're not using faces to look at each other for our conversation. So I was like, well, I'm going to double check this one.
If you knew what I look like right now, you would be like, thank goodness we're not. I love that. And to that point, so really it's education, right, is what I'm hearing that it comes down to.
Yes.
Is that people being educated so that they know and can be prepared. But the sad thing is, the hard thing is, I think no amount of education sometimes can prepare someone for their granddaughter's voice, for an email that says something terrible, for these photos. I mean, my sweet mom fell for the photographer, like laid up in bed with the cast. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's the little things. And that it didn't result in anything more, but just the falling for it, where instead of your knee jerk being suspicion, so many good people's knee jerk is belief and sympathy and compassion. And when you're facing sort of a shocking content situation, sometimes it's hard to be like, okay, give me that safe word. Let me check it's you.
It's true. I live in a weird world, so where safe words are used quite often. So it's unfortunate. But, you know, just this, like having this program, educating your listeners that this technology is out there. And this is such a thing that there's people targeting your parents with these things. And maybe having that conversation, if you have elderly parents, be like, hey, there's a thing going around where they're using fake voices that'll sound like me, but it's not really me. And then encourage, you know, in business and in, you know, individual lives, encouraging people and enabling them to raise concerns. Like, hey, I don't think this is real. I think this, you know, and don't like, you know, because cyber criminals want to put you into a corner and make you rush, do things quickly. But if you stop and think about it for a second, this doesn't sound right. This doesn't seem right. You know, the hairline in this video of this picture of my child or my granddaughter, you know, it doesn't look right to me. Let me use another way of communicating with them to see if this is real.
And I love that point about the urgency. I think to add on another layer of the education, as you are talking with all of your loved ones and apprising them of this and to be careful, you know, maybe suggest, talk to me before you ever give anyone any money. like, you know, someone's asking you for money, or just if you remember one thing from this conversation, come back to me, your son, your daughter, your cousin, your whoever it is, and like just run it by a member of the family, or maybe say it that way, just run it by a member of the family. And oftentimes the double checking will help reel them back. It sounds like at this point, though, it's common, like we're in the town square. You know, we until the laws are caught up, until law enforcement has the tools, it's really just a free for all. And all we have is protecting ourselves.
Yes, we protect each other. That we, you know, if you're getting hit with something, and again, I don't want to keep praising your podcast, but it's great to get the information out that this
Please
is happening.
Do.
This is where it is. You know, share this with your friends and family that, you know, that these things are happening, and educate yourselves. You know, it's you know, if someone calls you and wants you to do something quickly and they tell you not to tell anybody else, that is a huge red flag that this is a scam or something's happening to you. If they're telling you you can't tell anybody, tell somebody.
Yeah, totally. We don't know what we don't know, Chris. So as a final question, I don't know, just keep enlightening us. That's the question. Sure. Like what more do you want to share? What more do people need to know? What even thoughts or musings that you have on this? But I'd love to just end with your voice and your thoughts and your experience in this.
Sure. So we're seeing a lot of these scams for like new account openings. People are using either your face or your picture to open a new account in a bank. Keep track of what's going on with your financial health. Check your credit reports. All three major credit reports are going there. See if new accounts are being opened in your name. Account takeovers. So they're using schemes like credential stuffing. That's taking passwords that you use in another site, and that site got hacked into, and now you use that same password on your site. They're using that to get into your account, and then using your voice, your AI-created voice, to pass biometric databases. A lot of banks are using that. As long as it comes from the same phone number and has the same voice, they'll give you all the information. And there's a thing called SIM swapping that's really easy to do these days. It's basically going to a cell phone store and offering some money to the guy on the side illegally to generate your phone number on his phone. So it'll look like he's calling from your phone. So that's an easy pass for cyber criminals. And then now with the AI, they pass the biometric. Now they have full access to your bank. Create PIN numbers with your bank, a number that you have to tell them beyond just your voice. You know, your bank offers a lot of security. There's a lot of different security features. They don't normally enable it by default because it makes it more difficult for you. Security is hard for you. So make it harder for the bad guys. Do all these things. And then just tell your friends, tell your family and friends and loved ones that this stuff is out there. Cyber criminals are trying to get after you and attack you for your money, for your possessions, for other different things, for access to your accounts, for information about you. They're trying to come after us, and we need to stick together in order to stop them.
Before I go hide under the bed forever.
No, I get that a lot. I don't like scaring people. I'm not trying to scare people. It's education, hopefully.
No, it's okay. That's a reflection of me, not you. What I wanted to do was ask for the parents listening who have school-aged children, can you give your words of wisdom for what happens when their kids, if there are the deep fake AI images, you know, the nude photos and the simulated pornographic images that are floating around that are ruining kids' lives. Can you speak to what the parents should do if they discover that, or how they should speak to their children to be prepared for something like that? Can give your advice in that arena.
Sure. Let's take a step back first. Let's try to do a little bit of prevention on this. So in order for AI and deepfake images to be generated, they need content to be put out there. They need pictures to be able to train the AI for different facial positionings and that sort of thing. Let's not put the content out there. I know people love sharing their Instas and sharing their pictures out there, but let's not share it with the world. If you have an underage child, let's just keep it to a small network. Let's add watermarks to the pictures that we are going to share out there. Let's put something over those pictures that makes it harder for the AI to digest it and see the pictures. Let's, you know, kind of limit what's going there. And then also we know where the source of it is. If those watermarks show up again. So a few things, you know, to keep your media limited, keep your access to your media limited, and sort of try to put blockers on the photos that you do put out there. Those are three good things you can do to kind of, you know, make yourself not the target. And then once you're the target, you know, use the law enforcement to your advantage. I mean, that's why they're there. They're there to help you. You know, I know it's embarrassing to get out there, and the more people that know, the more embarrassing it is. But until we get more and more cases of people being victimized out there, hopefully the politicians will then react and create more laws to help the victims of these crimes.
Chris Tarbell, thank you so much for joining us today. You are always such a wealth of information. We are so grateful to you. How can people find you if they have more questions, or is there a, or simply a resource that you would like to direct them to if they have more questions or concerns about this stuff?
Sure. They can. I'm on Naxo.com. That's my company. They can find me there. My email's right there in public. Also, listen to me on Hacker and the Fed.
I love it. I'll be listening to you soon. And of course, we will have you back soon, I'm sure. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Emily. I had fun.
For more content with Chris, be sure to go back and listen to my past episode with him, covering one of his most infamous cases as an FBI agent, Inside the Dark Web, Taking Down the Silk Road. To hear more stories like this, you can listen to our past episodes on the Fox True Crime Podcast. Go to foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts to listen and subscribe. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. If you have a story or topic you want to hear on the show, we'd love to hear from you. Send us an email at truecrimepodcast@fox.com.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.